Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredible, vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. And we're back. I'm just assuming life is one big commercial break, and now we're back to the podcast week after week.
Or is the podcast the commercial break? I don't know. But we are back. Break,
we're not making any money off this podcast. We're not doing a good job with the commercials. We're open to shilling, though. We're open to shilling things. Just email us at pod@imagine.org and pitch us stuff to shill. We'll be happily the 289th podcast, arts podcast in the country, is happy to give it the bump. Speaking of, want to shout out as now our new tradition. We get more people contacting us.
Listener mailbag.
I thought you said listener mailback, which is a really cool like new word invented, like feedback and mail.
Mailback.
Yeah. You're bringing mail back. Listener mailback.
I'm bringing mail back.
You're bringing mail back. I think Justin Timberlake could be up for giving us.
Well, you know, we actually, you know, if we're going to make this whole vote by mail thing happen, we actually do have to bring the mail back or the post office back.
I love it.
You guys, so maybe you, there's a partnership between Justin Timberlake.
Experiencing real time.
You're in the USPS.
I love how we backdoor into a really good idea. You know what's a really good idea? People like Brian. Thanks, Brian, from the north side of Milwaukee. Won't give your address out. But Brian emailed us, asked us for, well, first it started with, hey, where's the RSS feed for Black Imagination, which is one of our sister brother podcasts on the network.
They've graduated from Baby Pod now to sister or brother. We're unclear as to whether or not it's a sister or brother, so, but it's in the family.
It's in the family. But Brian asked, like, where's the RSS feed for it? Which is a really good technical question we got to fix. But also noted, love all your podcasts. So that's why we're mentioning on ours, because we're in that love part. Like, you love all the podcasts that we do on the network. So
thanks, we love Brian. All the podcasts except for this one.
Well, he didn't say that. I'm assuming he loves this one as well. And Brian, when you're listening, you are seen, you're acknowledged. We appreciate you and all of our listeners. Thanks for coming back to another edition of Imagine This Podcast. We're back. Sports are back. COVID continues to come back in ways. It's all about the comebacks. We're bringing mail back.
That's right.
That's all of it. This is don't call it a comeback episode.
So how have your evenings been now that sports are back? My guess is that you're actually spending more time watching TV now.
I am watching TV. I've watched a lot of Cubs baseball, and we're 10-3. So what's up? Yeah. Totally, I'm all in. I haven't gained all the weight back, though. That is slowly happening as the Cubs continue to play. You know, I'm not back on NBA. I love NBA basketball, but like, if you quiz me on like where are people standings or something, I couldn't tell you.
I don't understand the bubble.
It's one big all game. Yeah, the bubble's like one big game to me, so I don't get it. You know, and NHL. Let's not leave NHL out. If the Hawks make it to the round of 16, I'll jump on that bandwagon super quick. I'll break my ankles jumping on that bandwagon. So let's go Blackhawks. That's your Chicago sports minute on the
on Imagine on the Imagine MKE podcast. That's right.
Yeah, we'll see if this has legs. We can track minute by minute, and we just heard all five of our listeners tune out at that point. Fast forward, so you'll never hear that again. You know what's also coming back or in the conversation? Public art.
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say that. You know, the other thing that's back, right, is Sculpture Milwaukee. Their summer sculpture series is back. They've just finished installing all of the incredible pieces that are up and down Wisconsin Avenue, which got us really thinking about public art, and that, you know, also in the context of Google Arts and Culture having launched last week. So g.co/Milwaukee for folks who haven't visited the exhibits yet. You know, the importance of public art has really become sort of common knowledge, right? As these pieces really impact the community's identity, a sense of local pride, and increases a sense of belonging, and obviously enhances quality of life for residents and visitors. as such, they can become sort of lightning rods for conversation, right? Because what is the public? What does the public mean? How does, if the public means inclusive to all, what does all mean, and how is all reflected, right, in the context of an artist's vision? Particularly, I think large scale public art pieces really come to define a place for its residents, and clearly, when they get to a certain scale, right, become a driver for tourism and economic activity and impact. So in our city, we have, as I think the residents here know, and clearly the folks who helped us create the Google Arts and Culture page, we have a fairly interesting and robust ecosystem for public art, right? Maybe not a whole lot of public investment going into the creation of public art, but we have a lot of public pieces that are out, right? Sculpture Milwaukee particularly sort of takes the museum experience outside of the museum and puts it into the public.
Right.
All of these murals that are coming up, and the discussion oftentimes surrounding the who gets to put up murals has been sort of an interesting discussion piece over the last few weeks. So,
and the build-outs, you know.
The build-outs, that's right.
The uprisings, right? The build-outs that have been featuring the MKE based activists, as well as Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, right? Like, that's happened.
Yep.
So those are examples of public spaces being reclaimed and reshown. So
that's right.
Happening. Yeah.
So art doesn't always have to happen inside a museum or inside a theater or inside a place, right? It can be outside and also be the voice of the people. And so, and sort of reflect what a city is about, to other visitors and residents and neighbors and everything else. So I guess our question for host story time is, for you, Mac, is there a public art project that you've gone to visit over the last year or so, or the last few weeks, during this beautiful summer, this beautiful COVID summer of 2020, here in Milwaukee, or something you and your family visited, a place to see specifically a piece of public art?
I know we just joked about Chicago Sports Minute, but like, I have to resonate. The thing that came to mind first, and again, it goes back to my narrative, the Cloud Gate in Chicago, AKA the Bean for some people, right? As part of this place called Millennium Park, which is downtown, which also includes a couple other pieces. There's a Engage Fountain, right? With these sort of two video pillars of faces, and then water comes out of it. And in the summer, you see the children, you know, wading in the water as it splashes about, and then other pieces in Millennium Park as well, linked together. And I named that because I had worked around that area before it was built. And I remember it was just sort of like, well, it's downtown green space, so people are coming by back and forth. But I just sort of remember when that was built. I can't recall, at least for a city like Chicago, how Cloud Gate, the Bean, became symbolic for the city, like almost overnight. It's sort of like, that's what we're gonna go see. When I have friends that visit, you know, drive down to Chicago, like, they're taking photos at the Bean, right? And it's so fascinating to me, like Chicago, like again, like many cities, Chicago's been around, obviously, but like, you know, I think of Chicago, this sort of city of big shoulders, kind of gritty, but having this park really change a dimension, you know, create a new dimension of the city that it's wanted, right? To be seen as a more sophisticated. You know, I think that's just one example that just top of mind, because I definitely drive down there a bit, you know, and I have family down there, and we go see it. Like, we go see the Bean, you know, and take our photo by it. And it's almost like taking the photo by that magic bean is almost like the like the little hashes on a door frame. You know, my kids get older as they stand by the Bean every time. And, you know, nowadays they're reluctant to even take photos by it. But it's like, I even look back on my camera, you know, roll, you know, my phone, and I can sort of see the years go by and how they reflect differently in it. And I think that's something about public art, right? It's both unique, but also permanent, that it almost would be like, it was always there the whole time, right? And we measure ourselves by it, or we use it as a point of contact, a point of reference for pieces. And so when you brought this question to me, you know, I know we're a Milwaukee podcast, but it's hard for me, I guess, for me, that like, that's something that just was striking to me, how quickly things can turn for a city in a way and add a new dimension, and actually gives me a lot of hope about Milwaukee, right? About how things like Google Arts and Culture, documenting pieces and new things going, it's a way for us to build a new narrative, continue to build this new narrative for our city as this very independent and fierce and creative place that's unpretentious and welcoming.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I think many of you have heard me talk about the Ken Brown, the Hero in You mural that's at MacArthur Square a lot over the last few weeks because of all of the work that we've been doing surrounding it. And I think where that mural is and sort of how it looks when you're driving west on Kilbourne, when you see it, you know, sort of holding up the civic infrastructure of our county, and that somehow, you know, when you sort of take into consideration that the figures being depicted in that mural are the heroes that are helping us through COVID-19, literally lifting up the civic infrastructure of our city and county, I think is just so powerful. And sort of the stories that ideally that will tell of our city being strong and resilient is just I think so powerful. And again, the philosophical space that mural, the 620 linear feet of that mural lives in, sort of connecting the public museum to the institution of the police, sort of bridging the county courthouse, I think is just such a sort of tells, right, what our city and region is, right? It's people coming together to do things together, to take care of each other and to help to create a more inclusive, an ever more inclusive community for us all. And I think how that whole civic campus gets can potentially be reinvigorated through public art projects and private art projects like that, I think is really inspiring. And I know that there have been a ton of efforts led by many of our local artists to try to reinvigorate that civic space. And I think that's really the power, right, of sort of the civic space sort of coming together with the arts, is that like it is the place that creates sort of a public square that we've long lost, right? Especially in this time of incredible polarization and division. And maybe maybe this helps to lead a path forward back to more inclusive conversation.
You know, and as you talk about that, David, you know, it's not just the sort of the political polarization which creates distance, but of course, living through this pandemic where we've been ordered to stay distance, right? Like it's more than not, we need sort of, if not physical spaces that come together, but at least metaphorical spaces to know that, yes, we got to celebrate these everyday heroes that continue to keep moving the city forward, moving us together. And, you know, I can't think of better guests to have us on than Ian Abston and Michael Hostad, because they are leading another large public art project in Milwaukee that will light the Hone Bridge as a beacon for our city's future. We're gonna have Ian and Michael on after the break.
I do not like that Sam I Am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I don't know.
Do your best banter, David.
Now you put me on the spot. Welcome, Ian and Michael, to the pod. How are you guys?
We're good, David. Thanks for having us.
We're great, David.
Super excited to have you here. So it was about a year ago, right, that I visited Ian at the house, airballed. A three-pointer in dress clothes and then switch to the next one.
It was embarrassing for everyone involved.
It was.
I still wake up screaming. It's terrible.
Yeah. To be fair, you did drain the next one.
In full-on tucked-in dress clothes. I'm almost certain that because it was a super slim-fitting shirt is why I airballed the first one. I didn't have my levers correct.
Yeah.
But so... So it was at that meeting that I first learned about the project, lighting the Hone Bridge. And I think I said to you that what an incredible privately funded large scale public art project. I can't imagine. I can't believe that it's just been a year and now we're here and it's actually happening.
I know. Well, I'm glad that context is a year for you, because I think for Mike and I, it's been maybe seems like a lifetime.
Yeah.
But it reminds you, every conversation you have to bring it up. You're at the barber, you're at wherever, you have to tell people about your passion project, because you never know when someone you're going to meet is going to be a donor, a supporter, connect you with someone, or just put a smile on their face. But yeah, a year ago, it seems like a long year.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So for those who might not know, where did the kernel of inspiration come from for this project that's been in the works for so long now?
Well, you know, the conversation occurred actually with the grandson of Daniel Hone, a guy by the name of Dan Steininger. We were working with Dan on another project, and as we were leaving Dan's office, he said to Ian and me, he said, "Boy, you know, you guys ought to go out and light up that Hone Bridge," and told us a couple of stories about previous attempts to light the bridge. And Ian and I kind of like walked out of there like, whatever, you know, that's a crazy idea. And then I don't know, what was it, a couple of weeks later, Ian, or maybe a month later, the Bucks had acquired Giannis, it was like the first nighttime televised ESPN game, because everybody was like, we got to check out this really tall guy from Greece and what he's going to do in Milwaukee. And there was that skyline shot, and Ian and I were not together watching this game, but separately, but we remember there was this pan from north to south across the skyline, and the NM Tower was being built, cranes were in the air, everything looked vibrant. And then as they wrapped up the skyline shot, and before they turned it back over to the Bradley Center, the last thing you saw was the emptiness of where the Hone Bridge was, and kind of the dark, you know, and lack of light around sort of the Harbor District and all that. And that was a moment where we were kind of like, boy, there's an opportunity here, not just for us to change the skyline, but you know, what else between the symbolism of lighting a bridge and all that, how do we make this a community project beyond a public art project? And so Ian and I were on the phone with each other right after that, going like, man, we gotta figure out how to light this bridge. And from there, it started with conversations with the DOT, connecting with people who were involved in the last attempt to light the bridge and all that good stuff. So it's been to Ian's point, it's been a 4+ year project and effort to get all the clearances that we needed and all the approvals and all that good stuff.
So you know, there was a previous attempt to light the bridge. So this isn't the first?
Yeah. So back when the bridge was redecked, what would that have been? Maybe early 2000s, 2010, somewhere around in there when they kind of redecked the Hone Bridge.
I think it was 2015. It was
2015. Construction was. Yeah. And there was a lot of big state projects. A percentage of the funds have to go to some sort of art or art installation on a state project by law. The thought was at that time that when redecking the bridge, they were going to just kind of do some decorative uplighting of the bridge at that time. And politics got in the way. There was a 2016 presidential election, that funding was pulled kind of out of the budget at the last minute. And so it never happened. However, a lot of some of the preliminary work, running of electrical and conduit and whatnot for the lights was actually done as a part of that project that we're able to benefit from in ours.
You know, I just sort of thinking a little bit about like, driving down or through the Marquette interchange, you'd mentioned, Michael, the uplighting, and just how like oftentimes serene and beautiful it sort of makes me feel connected to the city in those times when I'm sort of like driving through downtown at night. I hadn't made that connection sort of the feeling that one gets of having just some beautiful lighting, right? And sort of having the same kind of a thing or on the sort of landmark public infrastructure of our city, right? The Hone Bridge, how magnificent that is, or that would be.
You know, David, I just throw, I know this is an audio pod, but I just wanted to throw this, I throw a share for our guests. This is from the game Saturday night. ESPN showed an interstitial, and one of the editor of the Urban Milwaukee called out ESPN's like, you need some new B-roll. Because they actually showed an image from a building that had been demolished in 2013. Sort of the that had already been replaced, right? And so I think this speaks to what you're talking about of like a perspective of Milwaukee, right? Like, I mean, ESPN doesn't even update B-roll, and you all are talking about what's a new way of looking at ourselves, what's a new way for the country to see us, and how might this piece. So I was just struck, Michael, as you were sharing that story of seeing something on TV. It's almost a Schrodinger's box, past and present, around around seeing it, and how the possibility of this could be a way of even just resetting the viewpoint of a city.
And that's such a big thing, because Milwaukee, imagine if that skyline shot happened to a New York Knicks team. Yeah. There'd be uproar. The people would be, how many tweets would be going viral? People would be pissed that you used an seven-year-old image of our skyline, right? Milwaukee, people might not have caught it. That's the kind of Eeyore mentality I think we have here as a community. Oh, well, it's just Milwaukee. So I think this project is a couple of things. It's a reset for our community. Yeah, we got our butts kicked in the DNC and Ryder Cup and Buck season. There's a lot we should have been riding high on right now, but this is something, damn it, one way or another, at the end of this summer, Milwaukee's going to be able to see something a little bit different. And it's all mentality, and Milwaukee needs to shift our mentality. And I think this is going to be a part of it, not only ourselves, but nationally and internationally. People are going to think a little bit different about our community after this.
I think what's really interesting, sort of talking with you in the heels of having launched the Google Arts and Culture Milwaukee page a couple weeks ago, I'm just so surprised that, like, I was expecting a little bit more sort of play from local press about like how incredible this is that Milwaukee would be the fifth or sixth global city that would have a profile page on Google Arts and Culture, a second American city. And it was sort of a little bit of a nothing burger, which was sort of surprising to me, right? That like we wouldn't have that sense of like local pride because their story that they told about us, which is like, we are fiercely independent and wholly unexpected, I think is super fitting for our city and our community and sort of our sort of local character, that to be seen wouldn't be sort of more of a like a fun moment, right? Especially given, to your point, Ian, that we've sort of gotten our asses kicked this year. 2020 has kicked everybody's asses, but ours particularly.
You know, that whole, the Google Arts and Culture thing, I think is so amazing. You said we're the fifth?
Fifth or sixth global city.
Yeah. And I think to Ian's point about our Eeyore mentality is sort of like, you know, it's like how every article you read about Milwaukee is always written with the context of like a surprise. Like, wow, this is actually like a city that people live in and want to be in, and you should come here. And like, at first, you're kind of like, yeah, I like that we're sort of like the surprise city. But now, you know, it's kind of like, no, we need to stop being everyone's surprise and start walking with some swagger about what we have to offer and who we are. And yeah, we got challenges. We got some big challenges, but we have a lot of smart people here in this town that are working really hard to address those things. And so while it's hard sometimes, I think, for people to be proud when there is such work to be done across many fronts, but we're not the only city that's also working across solving those challenges. And I think we have an opportunity to build on what we are in Milwaukee and who we are in Milwaukee to start to do things differently and solve our problems in the Milwaukee way and do it with some pride and swagger. And so you know, there's a reason that somebody at Google put us in that list of five or six among all the cities in the world. And I think we need to do a better job of stopping and reflecting upon that and going like, wow, that is, and damn right, we should be in that list. Yeah. We should be in that list.
And David, to your point, it was a nothing burger. Not only was it a nothing burger, but it was actually the most Milwaukee reaction ever, where it wasn't a big celebration, but it was one arts group. Yeah, I saw two different people who represent groups posting being mad that their group wasn't mentioned in the press release as well. The most Milwaukee thing you could possibly do. Yes, this is good news, but what about me? And actually, this, so I saw that, but this is also a good reminder. I had some crap going on, and I'm normally a big Milwaukee ambassador, and I have yet to post about that. So I just wrote myself an email. I will do that today as well, because I saw you getting out ahead of that right away. And I'm like, and it took me to Google, and I'm like, this has only got to be a local thing. But I went to google.com. I'm like, no shit, there we are. There's anybody goes
on the straight up google.com. You can say anybody.
I thought it would at least be google.com/ like Art City. Nope. Google.
What was so funny is that they actually, I think a group of us were trying to get them to make the Google Doodle about Milwaukee, and they're like, hey, you know, we'll see. And like, there was apparently some internal jockeying about how to even get a link to the to Milwaukee on their front page. And my response to that was, it's like, wow, and Google, one of the biggest, you know, companies in the world, still has inter-organizational politics about like what gets shown on the front page that billions of people see every day, right?
This surprises you, David, right? That they had
I don't know why.
Michael's like, it's only the most visited website in the world. So yeah.
Yeah. They probably just would have put cows or beer up there anyway. So
saved it.
It's for the best.
You know, Ian, you talked, you know, this notion of, you know, I'm sort of weaving this story about over modesty, perhaps to almost to a fault, right? Yep. Which again, the effect of that is when there's people like you are making stuff done, it doesn't set this culture of, yeah, let's do this, right? It's almost like swimming against the tide. I find it fascinating, maybe correlation, causation, not sure. I was a communications major, so I can't say that. I'm terrific at the data, but we are last in the nation in public funding for arts and government, right? Which is yet another way of saying we don't even invest, you know, in this, in that way. And it makes it harder for projects to come to fruition, even if it's public or privately funded, right? It sets this sort of tone, right? When other cities are making it easier. And Ian, you just went on a little mini tirade about that's so Milwaukee. Can't dig into it a little bit more. What do you think that is? You know, let's do a little pop psychology about our city right now. Like, what's the deal?
Man, well, we're so industrial, right? Art is the thing that you think you do when there's excess. But I would argue art is what you have to do when there's no excess. When people need hope, when you need inspiration, that is the time for art. And now is when I'm sure you guys insert quote from one of the wartime presidents when they were trying to reduce art funding. He's like, reduce funding to the arts. Well, why, what are we even fighting a war for? Right. So I forget who it was. We'll call it Roosevelt.
I think it was Churchill.
Oh, not even our president. Oh, no.
Churchill. Yeah, I thought FDR was good since he had four terms or something. That's just a good guess. That's a smart guess.
Hey, thanks for the correction, David. Really appreciate it. You know what? It was only a year ago. There's a lot of gray on their head, on your head, for only a year the first time. So I think we have such a scarcity mentality, and art is seemingly the thing you do when your cup is overflowing. Mm. But I do the work I do, I study a lot on millennial engagement strategies. Why does a young person choose to live in a city? They choose to live in a city because it's vibrant. And one of the first vibrancy indicators, the plane lands, you're in an Uber, you're cruising around, public art is what you see first. Mm-hmm. Cruising up at the Hone Bridge, the first thing you see is that giant mural on right off National Avenue, the giant, you know, multicolored with the eagle. That is one of the first indicators of what tells a young person this is a badass place where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Public art. I'm not museum art, because you have to go in there, but your perception of what a young 22-year-old first deciding what city they want to be in, it's murals, it's beautification, and that's an ROI we forget about in government and in local and national government.
Well, you've also done a lot of research on the economic impact of lighting the Hone, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Michael, I'm punting this to you because it's going to require some numbers, and I clearly can't tell the difference between a president and a prime minister.
Right. Ernst & Young helped us out with an economic impact report because again, you know, I mean, to Ian's point, this is, you have to justify this sort of stuff, as you should, of why this adds value. And you know, they found that it was going to be anywhere from $11 to $12 million annually in tourism and restaurants and you know, additional development that could happen around in the Harbor District. That's a big, you know, so you're talking a $4 million project, and you're already seeing a potential ROI within your first year.
Right.
You know, you know, that was telling to us. And we've seen that in talking with our friends in San Francisco as well. The Bay Bridge, when they lit up, you know, just one half of that bridge too, they, you know, the number of restaurants that added rooftop patios and hotels that opened up in view of that, people like to sit and watch this stuff. And so there is a dollars and cents to the project. And I think I think Ian's so spot on in talking about, like, we only do this stuff when we have excess. In this case, I think this is an investment that can be made that's going to actually show a return, not just in economic impact, but I think in community impact as well. Because we've always said that this project's about more than lights on a bridge. And now that it's being lit, we have a chance to prove that as well.
So the Bay Bridge was lit in halves as well?
Yeah, it's I think they're fundraising now for the Oakland half. Right now, you can only see it on the San Francisco side.
Got it.
So
you know, I think we've talked a little bit about, like, how 2020 has been a peculiarly dark year. And I just can't think of a more important project for our city. I mean, figuratively and I think literally, right, that hopefully will sort of light the future of our city. So speaking of that, right, when can we start seeing lights on the bridge?
You'll probably start seeing lights in mid-September, when they'll be turned on for the first time to start testing. And they won't look perfect then, but they'll be on here and there throughout the evening as we test. The actual commissioning and the final launch of the lights will be in early October.
And you talked about a connection to the community. Could you speak to a little bit of the unique relationship, right? Because it's not just one set of lights in terms of sort of the lighting of it, right? Like, I know when I went to the Eiffel Tower to check out Paris last year, it's just like white, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you speak a little bit about sort of the nuance of just how the Home Bridge is going to be lit up and its relationship with the city as well?
Imagine, I'll jump on kind of the funk factor in partnerships, Michael, if you want to talk about a nonprofit.
Yeah, you bet.
So imagine at a time like this, when we're all virtual, we're all clamoring for sports. Well, now we can't be at Miller Park, but imagine the technology on these lights is so advanced. The second the Brewers hit a home run, these lights will be blue and white, and it'll be doing a intricate dance for every home run. Packers touchdown, Bucks three-pointers. This essentially will be the pulse of Milwaukee, but shown on a massive, grandiose scale. And not just sports, but live music. Imagine a live band at Summerfest and the music, the skyline pulsating behind you. How cool of an experience is that? I mean, when you talk about this little cell phone being in everyone's pockets, that is our best branding. Having someone visit our city, taking a video of that and watching all of their friends now see Milwaukee in like a slightly different light. This isn't a tourism campaign. This isn't us buying a billboard to tell you how badass we are. We're just saying, show up and I'll prove it. And that's the way I want to brand Milwaukee. So there's all of that, but also every Saturday night, 10 p.m., you can check out, stop by the bridge, put on your radio, listen to 88.9, and they're going to have some songs dancing in sync to the Hone. And think of then every cultural festival down by the lakefront, from Mexican Fiesta to Italian Fiesta to Gay Pride Month. All of that will be felt. All of it will be felt. And it's not just Third Ward that sees it, because we started on this Home Bridge project, and the sight lines that you have of that bridge from weird parts in the community you wouldn't even think of, just, it is going to be felt by everybody. And that's a shared experience as well. So in Milwaukee, when in winter, you've got 15 hours of darkness, you know, those days when you get up, it's dark, and you leave work and it's dark. Those are the days that you're going to be like, yeah, that light thing is pretty cool.
And that technology affords us some unique opportunities to engage the community beyond just what Ian mentioned, but the actual lights themselves can be programmed and coded. They need to be in order to do all of that cool stuff. And so we thought, boy, what an opportunity to teach kids how to code. Like, imagine if you could learn how to program and code with the bridge lights as your muse. You know, I joke as a recovering IT professional that I learned how to code in seventh grade by building a mortgage calculator, and I didn't even know what the hell a mortgage was, you know. But if someone said, hey, why don't you, you know, program those lights down in Milwaukee, and, you know, everybody knows the Hone Bridge, like, and that once a month or a couple times a month, we can actually highlight student designs on the bridge itself. Is a pretty remarkable thing. So we're working with a number of community organizations, from the Boys and Girls Club to Sharp Literacy, Discovery World, Islands of Brilliance, to actually build out learning modules that will be available to 5th through 12th graders across the city and across the state, to be able to submit designs and learn how to code using the bridge lights as their teaching and learning tool. So, I mean, that's one thing. We're calling it Code the Hone. We really think that's where we start to see even more of a community impact of lighting these bridges. If this can help somebody learn some skills that'll provide value to them in their career and down the road, then that's a huge win for us too.
You know, as y'all are telling these ways, I'm just struck by, you know, it's not just getting, you know, visually stunning, right? The notion of this huge bridge, which is what Milwaukee is, you know, part of its skyline lit, but just feeling the sense of connectivity, right? What you're describing, just reacting to a Chris Middleton 3, you know, or a Yelich Homer, reacting to kids coding it. It's, you know, public art is how we interact with our space, right? And you're creating a new way for people to be part of this space, which is something like, it sounds like something easy to take for granted, given people drive across it all the time. But it's something about the story you're telling me reminds me of the power of making the strange familiar and the familiar strange, right? Just inviting people to be grounded in that, connected. And that's just really, again, it's almost hiding in plain sight. It's really lovely. And to me, that's where the magic happens, when that alchemy.
I do like that quote. It's a really good.
Steal yeah. it, make it famous, Ian. Make it happen.
Yeah, but I have a bad track record apparently on quotes, starting about 20 minutes ago on this podcast.
Just say it was Winston Churchill, and then I'll look back out. It sounds like Churchill would have said something like that. It was actually my performance teacher in grad school or something. So anyway, whatever.
Done.
Good dude, either way. That being said, it sounds like you got a lot of people involved in the project. How might others get involved in this project? What are the ways people can get involved?
Great question. So if you go to lightthehone.com, you can participate in this project for only $25. You can buy a light bulb. And it's not just a bulb, but you get a dedication as well. So forever, until the end of time, or until the World Wide Web stops existing, you will own a light on the Hone Bridge. So go to lightthehone.com. $25 gets you one light bulb and a dedication. $50 gets you a light bulb, a dedication, and a photo to the person you want to dedicate it to. So you could just dedicate it to Milwaukee, to your child, to your mom, to a wonderful nonprofit. So that's a great way to go about it. If you're a corporation and you want to get more involved, we've got a suite of services that we can get you involved in to really get your company name incorporated into this creation of light. So there's a wide variety. And if you have a nonprofit that's doing some great things in the community, we are launching these come January 1. We're working with 12 different nonprofits. They each get a different month, and Imagine MKE is going to be one of our first. And we're working with those nonprofits to really do a Shine the Light campaign. So we're using our social media to drive real focus to what you guys as great nonprofits in the community do so well. And it's our time to kind of give back and use our media to shine a light on what you do.
That's great. And we're super excited to be involved, not only as one of the nonprofit partners, but sort of as an amplifier of this project, because it is just so, I think, as we've discussed, in many ways, inclusive, interactive, and tells this incredibly powerful story about the future of our city, especially in this particularly dark time of 2020. Yeah. So I don't know if you Michael and Ian know, but Mac and I have this incredible power of making our guests the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee. The problem, though, is that the power only lasts for 2 minutes. And you guys can probably, we can probably talk to the powers that be and give you each 2 minutes to pass some policies that will be in power for the 2 minutes. But here's the thing, right? Like, the reason why it has to be separate is that with your two policies, they can't compound each other, because then it would create like this tear in the time space continuum. So we will go with whomever wants to go first. Your 2 minutes, your reign starts now.
Michael's first.
Man, I was gonna say we should just get 3 minutes total, because Ian and I kind of share a brain on a lot of this stuff. So I think it kind of goes back to a little bit about what we were talking about even before we started the podcast. I think investment in making concerted and specific investment in the arts, I think, is going to be really important. But doing it in a consistent manner, I think, is another piece to that. I think one thing that Ian and I have learned in all of this is that it can be very difficult to bring about change in our community. And I don't know that that's specific to Milwaukee. I think it's just in general can be hard to do, whether you're doing a public art project or anything else. And so I'd love to make things more accessible and figure out ways for people who have ideas that might not be what would be considered a traditional or normal idea. I'm using air quotes, you can't see it. How do we, honestly, this is one way, I think, to attract people to the city. If we become known not just as the city that's on the Google Arts and Culture, but also as a city where you can come here with an idea and a new way of thinking and a new way of doing things, where that's going to be received well, and not just received well, but supported and maybe even funded. And that goes everything from, I think, like I said, public art to community investment, neighborhood investment. And we can't keep relying on the same piggy banks to be doing this sort of stuff. The people who have invested in arts and culture to date are amazing people, but there's a finite pool of those dollars. And so until we decide as a culture that this is important to us, that, to Ian's point, it's no longer something we do when we have extra money, but rather it needs to be something that we carve out in a budget to do. And it shouldn't just be a measly 1% of a 100+ million dollar construction project. It needs to be something specific. That's when I think we really start to show what Milwaukee can really do. I mean, we're already halfway there, more than. And so I think that's what I would do, David, and I hope I didn't go over 2 minutes if I were the czar.
That's great.
If I get czar for a day, I think
Milwaukee. About 2 minutes.
2 minutes. You get czar for 2 minutes, Ian.
Edit it down. Tangents. I'm going to charge up my computer because I'm going to need it. I think Milwaukee is very much an unfinished city. And the beauty of an unfinished city, and I'll define that like, there's open lots for cheap. There's park space that's unused. In New York, it's not an unfinished. Everything there can only be touched by a billionaire developer. Milwaukee is not that city. If you have grit, look at Caitlin Cullen with her restaurant and some of the mural scenes going up. We are a grit city, and we attract people that want to create. And if we're attracting the people that want to create and define the city that they want to be a part of, we have to make the process easier for those ideas to actually come true. And we cannot just create governing structures to get in the way of public ideas that are vetted and wonderful. Let's just look at the Milwaukee flag. Damn it, that's a cool thing. People are getting tattoos. It is all over the city, and we still have a Martian spaceship on our current flag, and we're tripping over our own ears in City Hall. What the hell are we doing? We can do better.
God, I wish we had people on that had takes, David. I really wish.
Well, I think Ian and Michael are now friends of the pod, right? We could just have them on for take, Hot Take Tuesday.
Michael,
be careful what you wish for.
I was like, yeah.
So I'm actually laughing because Mac typically wraps up the arts and culture czar reign. And so
I was just taking it all in. That's all. I usually I would go into it, but I was just like, y'all both brought, I mean, such a rich multitudes of it. I'm taking it all in. And I, again, appreciate y'all's services to in that role. And knowing that no longer the arts and culture czar, you're going to continue providing leadership for our city and making sure that's a city that, you know, carves its own way and creates a new narrative for itself. And that's proud and we're appreciative about that. And we're going to carry on that legacy to try to make sure that, you know, again, imagine MK is committed to making sure that we keep moving forward on that. So that's all. I got to be honest. I'm still taking it. Man, I was like,
well, I think what Imagine can join is this idea. And I think that this idea that both of you are speaking after is this idea that we talk about a lot in our shop, which is, you know, that our city is actually abundant. And if we lean into the abundance in our city, whether it's talent, whether it's possibilities for investment, whether it's places for development or for improvement, there's just so much abundance here. If we could just potentially figure out how we work together better and have ways of coming together that we can actually capitalize on that abundance to actually make it into the future.
That's a very good point. We are a very abundant city. There's a lot of people that do love to give, but I think it's always here that like we get this project going and what happens when government touches it or what happens when you run into friction. And the problem sometimes we run into is there's no playbook. There in a lot of the, if there's a, it's going to cost two in the private sector, it is $2 million to get you from A to B. But all of a sudden in this public art space, all of a sudden you understand the playbook and someone not only changes the rules, but the game entirely. And, you know, elections change every 4 years and those might change things. And it's maybe just a little bit more consistency. If there's more consistency in rules of engagement, we'd see more art being done.
Well, and I think part of the problem, we are an abundant city, but with a scarcity mentality. Mm-hmm. And so I think that part of the challenge here is that anytime an investment is made in something, it's viewed as yeah, but that money could be spent on something else or should be spent on something else. And maybe that is the truth, you know, but at the same time, I think if we truly are an abundant city, then we need to start acting like one. And investing in a lot of different things. And we have, you know, I'm not saying that we're not, but at the same time, you know, we should be building up and supporting everything that is happening because it all collectively leads to the city that we eventually want to see. And it's not this Superman mentality where it can only be one thing and one investment that's going to fix us forever. And so it's all of these things working together, people working together. Imagine if, you know, today it's lighting the home, but tomorrow, what are Ian and I, and who are Ian and I going to help to do the next thing? I mean, that's because we've learned a lot, and shame on us for not providing that playbook when we never found one to begin with. So that's what we're working on next.
It took a lot to get Mac to join us on this crazy mission that we're on at Imagine MKE. And one of the things that I shared with him early on in the recruitment process, I was like, look, if we can't fix how we do art in the city, then we can't do any of the big stuff, right? That's important for our city. And I sort of like join on this perspective with lighting the hone, right? If we can't do something that's going to bring tourism, more economic impact, bring people together, sort of inspire a city on this project that sort of speaks for itself, right? How are we going to do the big things that are important in our city, like deal with segregation, deal with the institutional racism that's the legacies that we're still living with? How are we going to deal with public education, right? Like some of the real thorny issues if we can't do the simple stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is how you learn how to work together, right? You know, and to fix things and to inspire others. And I mean, these are kind of baby steps, and for us, it's never been about just lighting a bridge, and that's kind of the point. And so now, you know, we have that opportunity to really show, and one of those things is here's what we learned, and here's how to get some stuff done. And if anything that we've learned along the way can help the greater good of dealing with some of those issues you just mentioned, David, then that's a win for everybody.
Thank you guys so much for being here. New friends of the pod with hot takes all the time. We will definitely get you back and get you up the guest list on our pod so that we can beat Podcast King Richie Burke in the charts.
Yes.
How can our listeners find you and get involved with the project? This is time for plugs. So plug whatever's important to y'all.
Oh yeah. Michael's personal cell phone number is go to likethehome.com and you can reach us there as a communication spot, or you can find us on the old professional LinkedIn, Michael Hosted or Ian Abston. I'm talking like we're a couple, like we're an old married.
Some days, Ian.
I'm on the Facebook. Old Man Hosted isn't. You can find him on the professional LinkedIn or even the Twitterverse.
Right. You can write me a letter as well. That's I
accept ravens?
Yes. Carrier pigeons. Yes. Stone tablets.
Can with string. Right. Tin can with string. Just pull it three times. That lets Michael know that's you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. And I will eat them in the house. And I will eat them with a mouse. And I will eat them here and there. I will eat them anywhere. I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam. I am.
Man,
I do
so like green eggs and ham. It's so much fun to have passionate people interviewed. Everybody's got a passion, but it's evident to me how Michael and Ian love Milwaukee and want so badly for Milwaukee to be seen how it really is, as a just a creative, exciting, dynamic city. And so we're lucky to have folks like them that are always fighting to think of the next great idea and the piece. I'll be honest, I think when I heard, it's probably weak for me to talk about it now that they're not on. Like, I think a long time ago when I heard about Lighting the Hone, my first was like, huh? But then, like, as I got into it and thought about it more, right, hearing their stories and thinking about it, I really got to that place of like, wow, what a neat way, you know, to interact and actually hopefully connect this really amazing edifice, this bridge that can literally connects parts of the city to each other, connects it to people, and that they can see themselves reflected in the colors, in the reactions to it. It's I just think it's really clever and elegant. So.
You know, I think in some ways, like, it's not unlike a lot of the work that the Downtown Bid has been doing in, like, lighting up buildings, right? Like, when they light up all the downtown buildings, when they work with all the downtown buildings to light up the buildings, you know, rainbow colors for Pride Month, or, you know, just to sort of create a sense of life in everybody's shared neighborhood and everybody, in the context of, like, the Hone, right? And everybody's shared infrastructure. People drive up and down that, you know, to get from downtown to the south side. And I talked about it on the podcast. I've been saying this from the beginning of 2020. My tune changed a little bit in 2020, but like, again, for this project to be happening right now when things seem really dark, to sort of have a beacon, right, of hope in this year, in this time, it just seems so incredible and incredibly inspiring.
And hopefully we'll have some new interstitials for ESPN when the Bucks win the title, right?
I can't believe they didn't use like the more recent skyline. This is just lazy, right? It's just lazy.
Yeah, I don't know. You think you're the worldwide leader in sports, you'd have some B-roll, but maybe we could send it to them.
Hey, can we add ESPN? Can we add ESPN about this? Or I guess somebody else did, right?
Somebody else did. Jeremy Janane of Urban Milwaukee did. And so, yeah, I follow him on the Twitter. Also following up on a recent guest, Wes Tank has some exciting. So that's a new segment called Following Up With .. David, tell us what's new with Wes, who is on one
West
of
our Tank, recent episode who guest. Close listeners will note that that our audio transitions today were provided by West Tank's story wraps of Green Eggs and Ham. But he's got a new project, West Tank Story Wraps on kadoodle.tv. It's incredible.
My man's on TV. My man's on .tv.
So nice. Exciting. to be able to parlay this incredible skill that he has to turn kids' stories into raps, particularly in this time when like kids are at home, parents gotta. I don't know. I don't have kids, right? But if there were like a dog raps that I could show my dog, I would totally.
That's part two.
That's right. Wes, if you're listening, dog raps.
And Wes, if you're listening, would it be too much to put our pod episode on the landing page at kiddoodle.tv? Because I definitely think young people would love to listen to a breezy weekly podcast. And I think that's the gateway for them to learn more about Moloch Arts. Just a request. You don't have to do anything. It's like the secret. I'm just going to manifest the life.
That's right. And we should also note that Wes has also been doing some incredible work with artists working with education, artists working in education with their artists program.
That's following up with Wes Tank right there.
Another example of artists in Milwaukee doing incredible things.
You know who's doing incredible things?
Our listeners.
That's right. You actually listen to another episode of the pod. God bless you. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already, wherever you listen, get your pods and rate us 5 stars and share it a positive review because we want to get in the algorithm so more people can find us. And if you have other ideas for podcasts or just send us a note, as you notice at the top of the thing, we can read the emails. Hit us up at pod@imaginemke.org.
We're also on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_mke or Facebook @imaginemke. Be sure to listen and subscribe also to our sister and brother podcasts, Black Imagination and Arts Forward MKE, the two other podcasts in the Imagine MKE podcast network.
Awesome. Until then, we'll keep the light on in the city in our hearts until the hone catches up. And we look forward to catching up with you next Tuesday. Until then, take care.
Right now, I think Ian's got a whole bunch of pitchforks and torches both ways. He's got it both sides. He's having Les Mis two sides right now. So
hey man, there is passion in these projects.
That's right. That's right, man.
Passion in these projects.